child without your presence, we respond to your great love.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God, presented from the Lighthouse Chapel International. This rich teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for everyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Reverend Samuel Sawyer is an anointed man of God with a special grace for teaching the Word of God and a unique passion for building people and positively transforming lives. He is currently the resident head pastor of the LCI Rose of Sharon Cathedral, Accra, Ghana. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teaching as taught in the Lighthouse Chapel International.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong. Gratitude is ours.
So significance, tell somebody the path. And I don't think I'm going to really preach. I'm going to basically read two portions of scripture for you. I'm going to read the whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So take the scripture references down. The whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're familiar with the Bible, you'll know that that's a chapter on love. And we normally read it during marriages and all those things. But it is something for everyday use. Tell somebody, everyday use. I am believing that at the end of this sermon, you will discover the significance of your life. You discover how you can get what God wants us to get from life. Sometimes life serves us with bitter pills. And you can easily be tempted to think that that's all God wants you to have. Sometimes you can even rationalize it. And then people say in tree, media meeting yet. Who has heard that thing before? Media meeting yet. Hey, wait there. Meaning my head is not good. Somebody will say that, oh, media, me shebre. And yet, that is my destiny is not good. Who has heard that thing before? Only two people have heard that thing before. Tell somebody, me shebre. Yeah, yeah. In other words, my destiny is good. Do you believe your destiny is good? Ah, we are in a church. I can't hear you. Do you believe your destiny is good?
Yeah.
You must believe it. Because what we believe, that's what you have. Christians, we are believers. Sometimes people say that, media, I am set. Abrabo we die. And ya die be ye. But you know, the grace of God tells us. Bible says the grace of God that teacheth us has appeared to us. Listen very carefully. God intended every one of us to amount to something. God has a purpose for every single person that he brings into the world. Your life is not just a meaningless something passing through. And you are not created for the pleasure of somebody just like that. Some people think that they are just there for people to use. That's why people go into prostitution. That's why people go into all kinds of things. Because they have accepted a lower standard of living for themselves. That's why people stay in all kinds of abusive relationships. That's why people are trapped for many years in thoughts that hold them down, and they are not able, as it were, to make meaning of their lives. But today, I believe in a very few minutes, I'm just going to share with you the pathway to significance. And like I said, we'll read two scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The other one will be 1 John chapter 4. We'll not read all of it. It's about 20 verses. We'll read from verse 7 all the way to the end. And I believe these two scriptures will help you. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Tell somebody the path to significance. If you don't know your way to a place, somebody needs to show you the way. I remember last year I had to go to a place in the Volta region called Sege. Is it Sege? Reverend Frank, where we went? where we got lost. We ended up almost in Aflawo. No. He knows the place. Bato. Mepe. Mepe. We are going to Mepe. And then by the Reverend Frank was the one directing me. By the time less we were in Sogakofe. But you see, he had forgotten the path. And then he had to make some calls. And then the calls, they said we should turn around. Otherwise, by the time I realized, but now we'll be in Benin. You see, there's a path to everything. Tell someone there's a path. Another thing is that there's a way. Are you getting me? And I'm telling you that there's a way that God has so designed that if you walk on that way, your life will become significant. Somebody say amen. What do you mean when we say significant? It means the meaning of something. And the key scripture that's underlined this series as 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 10. Is that the scripture? The key scripture. Come along with me. I don't know whether you are with me this morning. Come along very, very quickly. I don't think we're going to preach for a very long time. We're going to read the Bible and then we'll close. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter what? Oi! 14:10. I said that's underlining scripture. We are in a series. We've been preaching about significance and a need for you to at least have this scripture at the back of your mind. And then we will continue. Let's all read it together. 1, 2. If you can read it with me, with the loudest of voices that can be heard all the way in Colombia, let's all go. No. Even this one, Latebi Okoshidi, cannot hear. 1, 2. No. Natasha, this one, Jamestown. Let's go again. Yeah. This one, it went fast more. But I think we can do it again. Can we do it again? 1, 2. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none is without signification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 10. Put your hands together for yourself, somebody. And I said that in this world, there's nothing that doesn't have a meaning. I told you on the book of, Joshua, that God, after they crossed the Jordan, God told Joshua to take some stones and then to place them somewhere. And then later on, when the children of Israel asked their parents that, what mean these stones? Or what are the meaning of these stones? You may ask yourself, why should someone ask for the meaning of stones? Who in his normal world, when he's going, he just sees stones and say, what do the stones mean? But everything has a meaning. And then you will say, that is how the Lord brought the children from slavery to a land flowing with milk and honey. And in this world, if you don't know the meaning of certain things, you can easily abuse it. Either you abuse it or you misuse it. Like, for example, I remember one day somebody, my friend, my pastor, he gave me a pair of shoes. Before I could wear it, he realized he had to tell me the price of the shoe. Please, if I tell you the price of the shoe, you have to promise me that after church, you won't come and kill me. This is about 10 years ago. Or you won't come and adjust me. 10 years ago, when he gave me, he said, this shoe I'm giving you, it is 400 pounds. Hey! How much is 400 pounds? About 12 something. 12 million. Hey! Me, I won't take my money, 400 pounds, and go and buy a shoe more. But he gave it to me. Because he had also received it as a gift and said it was smaller for him. So, in other words, God sometimes wants you even to have something that your money itself will not buy. Can someone say, I receive it?
I receive it.
But he needed me to understand the significance of what I was receiving. So that I will not behave like the way a certain young man behaved. I also gave him some shoe. The next time I realized he was mixing concrete with it. I said, hey, do you know the significance of this shoe? So in life, when you don't know the meaning of something, you can abuse it. Sometimes we don't know the meaning of our lives. That's why we abuse it. We don't know who we are. And I told you that in this life, the way or the way you can get real meaning is when you know who you are in Christ. So I remember I gave you two scriptures. All this is just a recap. I gave you John 15 verse 5, the second part which says, "For Felicia, without me," Jesus is saying to you, "you can do nothing." If you can understand that your life was meaningless without Jesus, you will be able to walk in a certain way. You might have everything in this world. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man? Luke chapter 12. If he were to gain the whole world, but to do what? To lose his soul. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he owns. So I want you to know that your life's significance is in Jesus. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come. You know who has come? Not Atayu. Not Alomo Jata. Not KK Kabobo. Not Inspector Bediakun. But I am come that you might have life, an abundant life. Can I continue to preach to you? So I took my time to show you the enemies of significance. That is, the things that oppose you from becoming significant, or the things that are roadblocks in your path or in your life. Do you want to know them? I shared with you the first enemy of significance, and I called him selfishness. Selfishness or self-gratification or self-centeredness. And I told you that the children of selfishness, I gave you about three or four of them. The first one I gave you was fame. Tell somebody fame. The desire to be known. The desire for people just to call you. You know, when we were in school, there were people like that. Either through lack of proper esteem, or either a lack of understanding of who they were. When they were in school, the desire just to be known. Instead of coming to study. My bishop friend said that when you are in school, if you are a girl, focus on the books and not the boys, remember? And if you are a boy, focus on the grades and not the girls. They didn't focus on these things, but they were focusing on becoming the center of attention. Did you have somebody like that in your school? People who were focused on becoming the center of attention. So they will, if the school rules say that they must be here at 7 o'clock, they will not be there. If the school rules say that they should wake up, they will not be there. They were always bent on bending the rules so that they could be noticed. They were notorious. Tell somebody notorious. They will fold up their sleeves, they will open up, they will walk in some guy ways. They always had the nicknames. And if you went to a school like mine, you would have a lot of nicknames. One of the wildest nicknames I have ever heard in my life was a nice, handsome guy at 16, 17 years old, very handsome, tall guy. But the nickname that he had been given, if his mother were to have heard it, I'm sure the mother would have fainted. Do you want to know the nickname? This nice, handsome guy, because he always squeezed his face, they used to call him, and please, I say this with a Sebi. Tell somebody Sebi. They used to call him Devil's Nass. What a shock. They used to call him what? Devil's Nass. Hey! For those who don't understand the old English, the colonial English, it means, and this was his name. Throughout the 5 years I was in that school, this handsome guy, interestingly, his real name has just popped into my head. The grace of God, he is a born-again Christian now. But I can remember him always walking with his face. And then they gave him the name, Devil's Nyas. What a name. I remember there was another guy, I don't think I should tell you. But you see, and there were people who enjoyed such a name. There were people who did what? They enjoyed such a name because to them, I remember we had Ash family. There were a group of five boys. One was Stone Ash, Pat Ash, some other Ash. Did you have those people in your schools? And they used to enjoy the fame and all those things. It's not just restricted to students, but sometimes you have even mega businessmen, mega pastors, etc., who just get excited about their name and their fame. Nothing wrong if it is a byproduct of a life of significance. Nothing wrong. I'm not against fame. Because at a point in time, whether you like it or not, you will become a known figure. Are you getting me? Because of probably what God has asked you to do. But when you begin to seek it, when you begin to seek the attention as an end in itself, it might be that you don't really understand the significance of your life. Am I preaching to somebody? Let it be a byproduct. Jesus, you know, some people said that he should go and show himself to everybody. Some people were pushing him. Be careful when people are pushing you. Be careful when people are saying, don't sit down. Let them, you to show yourself. And say, we're a person. They were pushing him. In the book of John, I don't know what I read it for you, John chapter 7, verse 5. The Bible says that his brothers were pushing him, but not knowing that his brothers did not even believe in him. So be careful when people are giving you all sorts of titles and they are pushing you to do certain things. They may be giving you fans, but they don't support you. They may be doing what? Giving you fans. Ladies, remember, when that's your lady friend is telling you to do certain things, maybe she's jealous. I've heard of stories where two ladies are there. One is married. The marriage is going on, normal issues in marriage. And the other lady will come and then advise the married person wrongly. She goes to do something. The next time realize the marriage breaks up. Before you can say Jack Toronto, the other lady is there. The other lady is there. In fact, I remember one of my friends or clients, when I was practicing architect in Kumasi, he told me, he said, Sawyer, Kumasi Mbano. Tell somebody, Sawyer, Kumasi Mbano. Hey. I see, I'm going to me, I bet it wawale hon. I'm going to me, I then, I'm going to te wawale hon. Meaning they are hanging around your marriage. I say, eh, I'm going to pe dien, I'm going to pe kwain. Oh yeah, who judge and who can cry? If you lose God small, they will enter. And there are people like that. Listen very carefully. Be careful when you don't just do something because everybody else is doing it. So that people will know you. So you can popular. Let it be a byproduct of a significant life. Let it be God himself that gives you the honor. Are you getting what I'm saying? But don't just get out and be a hero. Try to show that you are the champion. Champion ata. Obi anka mi de meka. E mi de misrobia. Samuna mwami mwun te se. E mi de meka. 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 Be very careful. And I said, another child of selfishness is material possessions. Do you remember? Material possessions. When you're looking to just amass things. There are people who are just collecting things. Collecting. Every new style that comes into the world, they want it. Because you see, they see themselves. I'm preaching a very good sermon. Oh, can I hear amen? I'm preaching a very powerful sermon. They think that their life can be identified through the things that they have. So they keep on collecting, collecting, collecting. Some collect cars. May you have a car in Jesus' name. Don't get jealous of people who have cars anyway. Anything you are jealous about, you wouldn't also have. But some collect clothes. Ask the woman next to you, do you collect clothes? She will definitely say no. But you can know on a Sunday morning when they are saying that Miniata Debia, I don't have a dress. Oi! There are certain women, every wedding they have to sew a new dress. And they will remind you of 2 years ago, their wedding, last month, their wedding, they will know all the dresses. I say, hey, me, I don't remember the last time I bought a dress or something. I don't remember the last time. A lot of things I have it 10 years. After 10 years, 15 years, and it's just there. Amen. Can I preach to somebody? Some want to find significance in possessions. They collect. Even some people collect human beings. They collect what? Human beings. They surround themselves with friends. And they as it were, exercise a certain unhealthy control on their friends. Either they buy them takeaways or either they tip them. Who understands what I'm saying? They tip them. They try to control them. In fact, there was a fancy man who told his workers, he said, Amy, look at someone say, Amy. In other words, me. Mikita wonye piftafi. I am holding the keys to your stomach. Tell someone, Mikita wonye piftafi. Mumbaya inzizi. If I've not opened it, you have not eaten. Tell somebody, Amy. Mikita wonye piftafi. Mumbaya. Indeed, and there are people like that. They say they are holding the key to your stomach. If they have not opened, you can't eat. And through that, what do? They control a lot of people. Be very careful when peer pressure seems to be your motivation in life. Because of that, you collect the latest styles. Everybody is showing 30% of their breast. So you too, 30% of their breast. And when we see you, it's like you are singing a song. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am to say that available. Hey! We don't want to see your breast. We want to look at your face. And we say, where are you in it? Hey! Am I speaking to somebody? Yes. Let your significance be in the right thing. We said, what was the other thing we said was the enemy? Power. Power. Power to the people. Yeah. And then I gave you another enemy, which I think I called ignorance. Ignorance of your life's plan and purpose, who you are in God. Ignorance that as a child of God, you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Ignorance about the fact that as a child, God, Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, also those that record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son Jesus. Verse 12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not, or he who has not the Son, does not have life. When you are ignorant that as a child of God, your life is in Jesus, and he is the primary focus. Tell somebody, a primary focus. He is the what? The primary focus of your life. If you are ignorant of that, you will just be walking about, looking for other things to satisfy that need. Can I speak to somebody? If you're a member of a church and a good church, fight to keep your membership. Fight. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith. Force yourself to stay under the covering of a good church, because it is in the atmosphere of a good church that is where you'll be protected. That is where you will find, I told the second service, the Bible says in Psalm 16, the last verse, verse 11, it says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Verse 5 says that the lines have fallen unto me in very pleasant places. And it continues to say, I have a godly heritage. Fight to stay in a good church like Lighthouse Chapel International, Rose of Sharon. A good place to put your hands together for the Lord, somebody. Because it is in an atmosphere like this where you will hear the teaching of the Word of God. Look, there's so many false teachers that have gone into the world. Sometimes it breaks my heart when I see precious airtime, Dinah, being given to false teachers of the Word. I read the weekend paper just this weekend. There's a pastor, so-called pastor somewhere, who is being judged. Can I use the word judged? Judged. Mutias here, judged. It's not a proper word, but that's the only word. Who is being judged by a fetish priest? He owes the fetish priest $2,500. You know why? Because the pastor went to consult the fetish priest for power for his church to grow. And he hasn't paid. And there are all sorts of pastors around. Some saying they will bath you. Some saying they would anoint you. Some saying all sorts of things. Be very careful. And realize that people have itching ears. People want shortcuts. People don't. I was shocked when I heard another pastor on radio saying that come and median and yes, corner bra. My own is not go and come. Median they are at once. Then my own is at once. My own is not the one I'll say bring oil and wait and come back. And the guy was saying, "Aden, we problem back on." I just said, "Oh, sorry, sir." And I was saying, "This poison is being spewed and people are taking it." Where is it that the Bible did not say we should come to church? Is it not the Bible that says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is? And so much the more, even as we see the day approaching, is it not the Bible? Hebrews 10:25, is it not the Bible? Is it not the Bible that tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, 43, 44, that they continue daily in the apostles' doctrine, in breaking of bread, in prayers? Is it not the Bible? But somebody is telling us that don't go constantly. I had a church member who told me that the uncle was so frustrated that he was going to church that one day the uncle called him and said, "Hey, are you such a sinner that you have to go to church every day?" To him, when you go to church once, it's okay. That's why some people come only at 31st. They don't understand the significance of church. They don't understand iron sharpeneth iron. They don't understand that we are sharpening each other. They don't understand that in this atmosphere, you hear the words of truth and the words of life. You hear things like no Bible, no breakfast. You hear things like forgiveness. You hear things that help you to be disciplined and help you to stay under a covering. Am I preaching to somebody? Look, if you are ignorant about something, you can be in danger. I say you can be in big, big danger. Romans 10, verse 1, 2. One of my verses that I like quoting says, they being ignorant of the righteousness of God. Paul begins by telling his desire for the church. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer." Tell somebody, tap someone on the shoulder and say, "The pastor is praying for you." He said that Israel might be saved. And when we talk about salvation, we're talking about salvation of the spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit gets born again the day you give your life to Christ. But as for your body, it's the same. Tell somebody, the body is the same. And it must be controlled. It must be kept under. Paul said, they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about looking for their own righteousness, they do not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. Look, be careful when you are an ignorant person on an issue. Be careful when you are ignorant about the purpose of your life. You can easily be abusing it. And I told you that the dangers of ignorance, I gave you numerous dangers. I gave you the first danger when you are ignorant about your life purpose is that you always live a life of guilt, a guilt-ridden life, a guilt-ridden conscience. Cain, the Bible says, a wanderer, a fugitive shall he be all the days of his life, running away, nobody tawodo. That's how people behave. I am in a position where I realize that it's not everybody who sometimes like coming close. You can misinterpret it and say that, oh, it's because of the way you speak to people. But sometimes it's also because people have guilt all over them, so they don't want to approach you. Who understands what I'm saying? Yeah. They don't like it. Because they think that if they come, for some reason, the pastor will pick something in the spirit. Who understands what I'm saying? May the Lord heal you from a guilt-ridden conscience. For you, your verse is Romans chapter 8, verse 1. For there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Put your hands together for the Lord, somebody. Guilt. Guilt. The root form of guilt is condemnation. It makes people not able to bring out the best in themselves because of guilt. Too many Christians are walking around and they are making nonsense of the blood of Jesus Christ. They are saying that the blood of Jesus Christ is not effective. They have forgotten that the Bible says that if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From today, remember that you cannot live under guilt anymore. Don't let anybody make you begin to feel guilty. Hey, Pastor, the way you are saying, then people will go and do things, so. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the proper place of the blood is to cleanse you from every guilt. Make use of the blood. Tell two people, make use of the blood. Ah, I didn't hear you. Tell two people, make use of the blood. Make use of the blood. Make use of the blood. When God is looking at you, you know what He sees? He sees the blood. He sees what? The blood. In the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat, what you see is the blood. Can I continue to preach? I have not yet come to today, but I believe I'll come to today. I told you I'll just read the scriptures and then we'll go. If it's just 5 minutes I'll use to read the scriptures, I'll do that. But I'm saying what I'm saying so that you can get the fullness of what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you are ignorant about your life's purpose, what happens is that you live under guilt. Number two, I said that you have bitterness and resentment that is always attached to your life. You're always bitter. Bitter about something. Bitterness is a feeling that somebody has done something to you. Bitterness comes about because you feel betrayed, or you are actually betrayed and you feel anger. Bitterness, resentment. You it's like you're always fighting with somebody. There are people like that. Never happy with anybody. Always kind of ching ching. Tell somebody ching ching. Tell somebody let go. Oh, let go. Let go. Once upon a time, I was sitting with a lady. She was from East Africa. She was about 50 something years ago. A very learned woman. I was sitting in her house. She had given me Kenyan tea. Tea masala. Tea no bibia wom. Tea no etse nkwan. It was pink. Or pink bisa. Unum tea na etse eibi roots. Na bibi esa woka. I said, hey. Tea no meko wom. There were black pepper. There was cinnamon. There was ginger. There was everything there, the tea inside. And milk. Milk was also inside the tea. And then she was talking to me about her life. As she spoke, I realized that the things she was talking about was like when she was even a child, a teenager, and all those things were holding her. Be careful when you allow too many things to hold you. Do you understand? The Bible says, and I like what Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Tell somebody one thing. This was the focus of Paul. This one thing I do. Philippians chapter 3, can I read for you? Says that forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are what? Before. Paul said, I press. If the person next to you is a friend, begin to press him with your shoulder. He said, I press. I press. Hey! As a Christian, you need to learn how to press. Instead of pressing somebody's breast. Hey! Learn how to press forward. Tell the nearest young man, press forward. Hey! Paul said, I press for the price of the high calling, for the mark of the high calling of Christ. Listen very carefully. Resentment and bitterness, it will cripple you. Last week or so, I believe I also spoke about fear. Fear. If we want to talk about fear, we'll not finish. By the book of Timothy, verse 7, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? Love, power, and of a sound mind. Today, let me tell you the path to significance. There was another danger of ignorance I would have added, the need for self, for approval from people. People need people to approve of them. If you are ignorant of who you are, that's why you want somebody to clap for you. That's why you want somebody to do or to clap for you. A pastor at a certain point, an inexperienced pastor is always looking for people to clap for him. But an experienced pastor at a point, whether you clap or you don't clap, he learns to accept it. He learns to know that he is saying what God has told him to say. Whether you approve or you don't approve, it's a secondary matter. Tell somebody, look at him eyeball to eyeball and say that whether you approve or you don't approve, it is a secondary matter. I don't need your approval. I don't seek honor from you. Tell the person, I'm like Jesus. I'm not looking for honor from you. If you honor me, fine. But if you don't honor me, somebody, the Most High, God Himself, He will honor me. Let me hear a shout. Maria Masakata Kabru Sukutoyanda. Jesus said, and I like it, sir, how can you believe when you seek honor one from another and you do not seek the honor that comes from God? John 5:39. That's from going down. That's what Jesus said. Listen, the path to significance. There are different paths, but there's one path I want to show you now. And I'll do that by quickly reading, first of all, 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 to verse 20. Can we read that in the Bible? The path to significance. What is a path to significance? I think that path is in the four-letter word. Everybody say four-letter word. One more time, four-letter words. If your mind needs some cleaning, listen, I said if your mind needs some cleaning. Anytime we say four-letter word, what comes to your mind is not good. True or false? Hey, true or false? Are we in a church? Are we here or you have gone home? When the typical American, he says four-letter word, it is not a nice thing at all. Whisper to your neighbor, please, do you know any four-letter word? Hey, how many of you know some four-letter words? Today, I bring you a new four-letter word. It doesn't start with S. Neither does it start with an F. Tell somebody, Pastor, you are healing me. Tell somebody, my mind is renewed. That four-letter word starts with an L. It goes like this. L. Everybody say after me, L. O. V. And an E. What have we spelled? What have we spelled? What have we spelled?
That is the path to significance. Love. Love. Love is the way. Al Green, a gospel singer, he sang a song, I think in 1990, those times, and the title was Love is the Message. And the song was so nice that they even used to play it in the discos. Oi! I want to tell somebody here that God has been described in various ways, but the one word that has been used to describe God that we can clearly see who or what God is. We do not see in the Bible say God is fear. God is this. Or we see the Bible saying God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. I just have a few minutes. I'm reading this passage and I read the second passage that I told you about earlier on. Can we all read together, beloved? 1, 2. Let us love. One, hey, obisi se siya di atomi line. Mi anami pi obi adono. Mas poti girl no. Mi ko dono. Hey! I'm not talking about that your kind of love where you want to do something to people. Normally, when a young boy says he loves a young girl, all that he's saying that he wants to do something. Boys, amen. Young boys, what I'm saying, is it true? Or it's not true? Every young lady, keep it in your head. When a boy says, I love you, ask him first of all. I don't think I should say this. Maria Shakata Kabroso Kotoya Kabroso Kotonia. A Christian is supposed to love as Christ loved the church. Listen very carefully. It says, the love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, very quickly, we're just reading the scriptures. We're just reading very quickly. Verse 8, projector people, either you stop or you help me. Verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4. Are you there? Oh, I said, are you there? If you are there, say amen. All right. What does it say? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God. If you are looking for significance in your life and you do not walk the path of love, forget it. Men would applaud you. Men will say, why you are dear? But as for God, his language is love. As for God, he is love. And without love, you cannot have anything to do with him. Can I speak to somebody? Verse 9. In this, that is in this way, or in this manner, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live. In other words, that we might have significance through him. That's why the famous scripture in the Bible, John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And I always say, whenever I talk about love, that you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. Prostitutes, they give their body, but they don't love. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Can we continue to read the Bible? Verse 12, I know you don't like reading the Bible. You prefer to read the newspaper. But once you are in church, I will force you to read the Bible. If you can read it, it will stick in your heart. It will be a seed deposited in your life. When there's any other attempt for you to find significance in any other way, you remember that you need to qualify it with love. You need to bring love into the equation. Otherwise, everything else you do, the Bible says, is useless. You may speak in tongues, it's useless. You may preach. I may be preaching if I don't have love. It's useless. Can I speak to somebody? 12. No man has seen God at any time. By the way, anybody seen God? Anybody has seen God? If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Oh, Church of God. Verse 17 will help you to understand what I'm saying. We don't have time to read everything. Jump to verse 17. Jump to verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And I'm going to shock you. If you think that so far you are ready to meet your God, if you think that so far your Christianity is okay, I'm going to shock you. From verse 17, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. How was he? I say, how was he? He was love. Jesus was love. Jesus is love. The songwriter says, Jesus is love. Pastor, me, I don't know how to love. I have been hurt so many times that as for me, my own is bonyo face. What come here, my cow be? Oya me ye obi. O titi me titi obi. Me die. Me pe fun. Me nim say me Christian ni die. Me na me na some your thing. Na me die me here cry. And you still say you are Christian. Verse 18. You know, if you say that, what's going to happen? That on the day of judgment, you'll be found lacking. I'm preparing you. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I'm closing. How many minutes do I have? 0 minutes. And you also said it. In this world, if you happen to achieve everything, but you miss the next world, you have everything, but you miss the next world. I don't think I want that. But that's how a lot of people are living their lives. They don't live their lives with any eternity in mind. Eternity is waiting. If you are aware of impending eternity, there's a way you govern your life. And that's what John is saying. It says, herein, verse 17, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And now I close. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Unfortunately, I cannot read all the verses. I'll read the first three verses and I'll read the last verse and then we'll get out of here. I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. For your sake, I brought my Message Bible today. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 2, verse 3 and verse 13. Can I do that? 1 Corinthians, underline these verses in your Bible. The path to significance. Tell somebody the path Oh, the path. The path. What does your Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1? It says, if I speak with human eloquence, as I said, me kabrofo, me brofo ye a contombre, me brofo no ye de, it a yob. So that there are people who say, Charlie, it get the ble, it a yob. It go yob you. Young ladies, be careful of young men who can yob. They come to you with sweet, sweet words. They say, hey, you are the only mosquito in my mosquito net. I don't want mosquitoes. If you're a mosquito, hey, young lady, when they come like that, say, me too, I also have some red. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, just say, me be B.I. say, Osro, Bisa. You know those people who say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and they come into the church. Onumwi, Osintampi, Oboso. Bisa, Obisa, Oboso, Ana. Oi, weekend, no, Behe, Mboso. Sunday, now about sorry. Now, Wehuno, Osi, way too boy. But I don't laugh. I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. King James says, I am like tingling brass or a cymbal. Ka-ding! The next verse, and this sense is said three times. Paul tells us that if we do so much, you can give offering, but you don't have love. Forget it. The church will receive the offering, but God said, get away. You can come and sing, but you don't have love. The church will clap for you, but God will say, get away. You are useless. I'm preaching. Some people are also sleeping. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am what? Tin. I am nothing. The fancy is tin. The English is nothing. Mercy. The next verse. If I give everything I own. And these are to the givers. Those who want to sacrifice. Those who are saying to sacrifice is better than to obey. Instead of to obey is better than sacrifice. Said, if I give everything, I'm very careful with you. Because I know that one day I'm going to be judged on the basis of these words. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burnt as a martyr, that is someone who sacrificed his life. It's not every sacrifice that you must enter into. If you're a wife, don't take the responsibility of a husband. Can you imagine going to a soccer match, you don't understand the rules, and every time the goalkeeper catches the ball, you say foul. Because other people, they touch the ball and they say foul. The goalkeeper also catches the ball. Then you also shout foul. Be very careful. I give my body to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love. I have gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say and no matter what I believe and what I do, I am insignificant. I am bankrupt. I'm useless. I am useless without love. And verse 13, as I close, listen. Stand to your feet. I'll read verse 13 as you're standing up. Verse 13 talks about three things. Everybody say three things. Verse 13 talks about faith. It talks about hope. And it talks about love. Please, listen very carefully. Can you rush to the stage so that you don't disturb my preaching? talking about the path to significance. And I'm ending with faith, hope, and love. Tell somebody, I need faith. In this world, faith comes to help you in your trials. The reason why you know you have faith is when you have a trial. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. That's when you know you have faith. You can't say you have faith if you don't have a trial. Your hope is tested with the things you have or the things you don't have. Your possessions and your love, that's the key, is tested with people. 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 You know you love when you look at your relationship with people. How you're able to contain them or how you're able not to contain them. And I'm believing God, as we have looked at this particular path to significance, love, you'll be able to expand your heart. Make room. Enlarge your heart. Like Paul said, our heart is enlarged. So that you can be able to contain people. Some of you cannot countenance people. You write people off. You describe people in a certain way. You put people under. You condemn people. You don't embrace people. You're only thinking of yourself. In a church like that, you cannot find another person to just show some love. And you say you are significant in the eyes of God. Paul said, if you give your body and you don't have love, you are nothing. I want this church to be a church that is known for love. And love doesn't just mean being a sissy. Love just doesn't mean just being a walkover. Though it might mean that sometimes. But love actually means allowing God's love to pass through you. Verse 13, what does it say? It says, but for right now, until the completeness, that's until we can enter into heaven, we have three things. Everybody say three things. Say three things. Say the three infantis. Say three. Three things that lead us towards the consummation or towards the completion. And what are these three things? Now, first one is faith. That is trust in God. The second is hope. Unswerving. And then love. Extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. Tell somebody extra. I want you to make extra room for somebody today. Can you do that? We're going to pray. I said we're going to pray. Your significance is meaningless without that extra room for somebody's weakness, for somebody's foolishness, for somebody's inability to understand the way you understand things, for somebody's waywardness. Do you have that extra? Do you have love? Are you like God? God is love. Pray for yourself. Search your heart and ask yourself, do you have this four-letter word inside you? Everybody pray. Everybody pray.
Here we go, let's go to the throne, the place that we belong.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. For copies of this message and other messages by Reverend Samuel Sawyer, please contact the following numbers: 0243-210-323, 0274-140-073, 0242-262-694. If you are calling from outside Ghana, please begin with 00233 and email us at samsawyer@yahoo.com. We invite you to visit us every Sunday morning at the LCI Rose of Sharon Cathedral, former Olympia Cinema, at 6:30 a.m., 8:30 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. Our youth and children's service also come on at 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. On Thursday evenings, we meet from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. God bless you.